Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Alrighty, welcome to the Celtics Lab Podcast. I'm your host, Cameron Clipped. I'm joined by Dr. Justin Quinn. This episode of the Celtics Lab Podcast is brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network, and BetterHelp. You deserve to be happy. It's the postseason. It's 10:06 on Tuesday, which means we know who the Celtics are playing in the postseason. They will be playing the Atlanta Hawks. They just really put the hurt on the Heat, and we are going to talk about that. We are going to talk about this upcoming matchup that starts on Saturday. We're also going to talk about how the Boston Celtics played as individuals leading up to this moment. And to do all of that, we welcome in our friend from the Garden Report, Jimmy Toscano. Jimmy, what is up?
Yeah, what's up, fellas? How we doing? Happy to be here. Thanks for having me on. Excited. Yeah, we know who the Celtics are playing. So After 83 games, we have our answer. So how about that?
Yeah, we've known for almost 10 minutes now, which is exciting.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone really believed in the Hawks, but I certainly didn't. So that was quite the outcome.
I did not either. I think maybe the Heat were just avoiding Boston. How about that? They think that they can match up better against Milwaukee. Yeah, give it a shot.
Story.
Second game.
Well, we'll talk more about Atlanta vis-a-vis Boston, but Atlanta vis-a-vis Miami, I think Miami didn't have a power forward, and that was a big problem. So how they're going to match up with the Bucks, I do not know. But they have their work cut out for them. I mean, they still have one more game to win. So good luck to Miami, I suppose.
Closer to Cancun.
Yeah. They've had their ups and downs this year. I mean, I thought the Celtics were going to play Miami, like hand up. I definitely did. And I didn't expect the Heat to beat the Celtics, but they seem to always give them trouble. You know, I think Butler's always like a man amongst boys out there for some reason, especially against Boston. But Celtics avoided them. I think that they're probably happy about that too. The Heat, they've got a couple of vets on their team, but I don't know. They just couldn't put it together this year. I thought the coaching matchup was going to be the really interesting one. Yeah. Spoelstra versus Mazzulla. But again, no sense in talking about it because it ain't going to happen.
Yeah, well, you convinced me for just maybe 3 seconds of talking. I was thinking to myself when we got the news about Atlanta that maybe we actually got the worse bargain of the situation, that maybe we wanted the Heat. And just talking about, like, hinting at what happened within last one year. Basket of not actually advancing. Yeah, I'm good. This is a great outcome. I'm very, very happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jimmy, to your point, I mean, I think Quinn Snyder deserves a moment in the sun. I mean, he's not sure. Chopped liver, but I would have thought Miami would have played them tougher because they have more established guys. Although I'm looking at the box score and a few things that pop out, and then again, we'll move on from the game that already happened. Clint Capella had 21 rebounds. Wow. Really, Bam Adebayo only had 9. Just the game plan was attack. The Hawks only shot, and I say only as someone who covers the Boston Celtics, only shot 41 threes, which for a team that's right. 7th in offense and 22nd in defense, you don't really expect the Hawks to like rely on the gravel and their gut to win the game, but that's exactly what just happened. So,
and they didn't shoot it well either. They shot it horribly.
Yeah, no.
10 of 41. So yeah, they were able to score in other ways. So that's something that the Celtics have to take note of for sure.
Yeah, the Sadiq Bey factor is suddenly very interesting to me. I'm sure the Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown factor is a little more instrumental in like what happens in that series, but that's a very interesting new look for the Hawks. I guess we're already into it, so let's continue. I think across the board, we are pretty confident that the Celtics will win this matchup. Again, the numbers that I just
tease, the Hawks are very good at offense, number 7 in the league. I think anyone who's listening is familiar with what that looks like. And their defense is not that great. Clint Capella's asked to do a lot, and there's very few people kind of helping him. Honestly, kind of like similar to how the Heat play, quite frankly.
Right.
So I don't really think that the Celtics are going to be too taxed here, but let's just start with a rain cloud over our heads, and then we'll get sunnier as we go. Jimmy, how do the Hawks win a series against the Celtics?
Well, I think it's going to start with their guard. I mean, we just talked about Capella, but I love Murray. I really do. He's just a great, you know, he's a pop guy, obviously. And him along with Young, I think when that trade happened, we thought, wow, that could be like the best backcourt in the NBA, right? Hasn't quite happened for a number of reasons this year with the Hawks. I don't know how much of that has to do with Trae Young. Sort of, there seems to be some tension between him and the organization. I even saw another headline today that they're like monitoring. I think what Shams tweeted something about they're monitoring yeah. Trae Young. I don't even know what that means, quite frankly. But those guys can score. And Murray's obviously a good two-way player. Now, that's just going to put an onus on, you know, it's a good matchup, guards versus guards, because we obviously know how strong the Celtics guards are too, right? With Smart, White, and Brogdon. I'll you know, offensively, you go with the Hawks, obviously, but I think, you know, all around the Celtics, that three-headed monster there, it's pretty good. And then obviously you add in a guy like Jaylen Brown, who kind of plays both positions, although he's a forward. He is a forward, let's make it clear. Certainly he kind of moves around out there. So, you know, those guys stand out names-wise, but, you know, Collins is a guy that seems to have, like, been linked to trade rumors to the Celtics for a couple of years now, or maybe just any team. And then you talked about Capella. So they can be physical. And I think this is going to be a series that Celtics are going to need, hopefully, a healthy Rob Williams, if that version of Rob Williams does exist. I know that they spent all season sort of, you know, bubble wrapping him. So this is kind of the series now where I originally thought it was going to be him versus Bam, but now it's going to be sort of him versus, you know, a guy like Capella or what's his, you know, we just talked about him, Collins. So, you know, there's a couple different matchups that we're going to be looking at there. And we didn't even talk about Tatum and everything. So I actually don't think that he has as much of a matchup really to talk about, to be honest. I think it's very like guard heavy and bigs heavy. So, I mean, it's going to be, unfortunately for Al Horford, he's going to be busy too with some physical guys down there. And I know he doesn't really like to bang down low anymore, but it's not going to be easy from that perspective. I think those guys are going to make it difficult. I still love the Celtics in the series, obviously, just talent alone. But you know, the Hawks are a team that I think they didn't get talked about a lot this year, right? They just kind of floated in that eighth, whatever range all year. And they never really were a threat. The only time you heard about them was when Trae Young had drama. That was pretty much it. So I don't know a ton about them. I don't watch a lot of their games, you know, aside from some of the bigger ones this year. So I'm going to have to do a little bit of my homework on them too. Probably like the Celtics will.
Mm-hmm. Justin, what about you before we go all in on the Celtics? What's Atlanta's path here?
Wow. Basically, an improbable start to the series, the way the Celtics started their season from three-point range. They're going to win this with three-pointers, or they're not going to win it. I'm predicting the Celtics to take it in six. I think it's going to be five fairly tough games, and then one just nice roll right over them as the series is over. I don't think they have quite the right roster for a Quinn Snyder team as we've seen in the past. And I think they're going to be a lot better once they move some pieces and rebalance the roster for the sort of team that would play his style of offense a little bit better. But barring any surprises and what happens this season, I don't really think there's going to be enough time for them to create something that could seriously challenge the Celtics, particularly as we were talking about who is going to guard the wings. There is really no good options for anyone to stop the Celtics. So the path for them to win would be horrible luck for the Celtics and amazing luck for the Hawks, which I guess could happen, but I'm certainly not going to bet about it.
Yeah, it's worth giving Atlanta their due. I mean, they're, I guess, two seasons removed now from a trip to the conference finals. I mean, that is worth something. Trae Young, for all of his warts on defense, is a stone cold killer. That's worth something. Mm-hmm. Good coach, reasonably balanced. Although again, the wing. Let's be honest, DeAndre Hunter and Bogdanovich is the Atlanta Bogdanovich, I believe, or is it Boyan?
I just say the Atlanta Bojanovic, and I guess now the Detroit Bojanovic. So,
just say Bogdan.
Bogey. Yeah, it's Bogey Bogdanovic in Atlanta. I mean, he's a dog. I really like his game, but in terms of talent, I just don't see it matching up.
They have some, I guess if you talk about like their like six and seven guy, like that's pretty good to have Bay and Bogey coming off the bench for them.
Yeah, so again, for a team with a lot of turmoil, they got rid of their coach. They're probably better than the average seven seed, or a slightly better than the average seven seed anyway. So I think Boston could sleepwalk their way into a five or even six game series. But I think we're about to fully unpeel this onion. The Celtics just have too much ammo lying around. The Celtics played Atlanta at the beginning of the season, so there's not much to glean there. They played them the last day of the season, nothing clean there. I suppose one thing of note, the third and only other game between the Hawks and the Celtics is when Trae Young and Marcus Smart tangoed a little bit.
Yeah.
So these teams don't necessarily like each other. There's going to be a lot of spirit, to say nothing of like any.
Yeah, it'd be fun. I mean, Trae Young's an emotional guy. We know that. We see him play out there. And that's what I love about him. I think that he wears his, you know, he's entertaining as hell. He'll probably put 40 points up on multiple occasions in this series because who else is going to do it? And yeah, it'll be a little bit fiery. You know, I think the whole thing when Smart, you know, took him down, I don't know if it was as serious as everyone made it out to be, but, you know, it's a different level now in the playoffs. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to definitely be fun, but I don't have any concerns about the Celtics. I mean, if it went five games, I wouldn't be shocked either. You know, if the Hawks take one in Atlanta and that's it.
Yeah. One thing that I'm concerned about with the Celtics team is them getting in their own way and getting the yips. Right. I don't even think that this series that's possible. I think it's possible to the tune of dropping a game.
I think it could happen to one game enough where they lose the game.
I don't think they spiral. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So let's transition a little bit. So the games for the Celtics will begin on Saturday at 3:30.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting. My guess is that the Bruins will start the playoffs on Sunday, but they could wait until Monday or Tuesday. So the Celtics might get a weird schedule because it's unclear if they're going to honor Marathon Monday and let Marathon Monday kind of be its own thing. But we're going to start.
There's a chance the Bruins might play Monday.
I heard that too, but then I also heard the Celtics were going to play on Sunday, so I don't know what to believe anymore. Yeah. The team told us they're playing on Saturday. That's what I'm going with.
Yeah.
So we know that there's a game one. We know it's Saturday afternoon at 3:30. Jimmy Toscano. Who is Joe Mazzulla going to start?
Oh, that's a great question. I think he's got to go with the white in the lineup. Yeah.
Okay, so flush it out.
Yeah. So I've been saying this for a while now. Play your best guys. Stop playing like defense to their offense. You know what I mean? Put your guys out there and make the opposing team adjust to your guys. I think Derek White's been there. We're going to talk about grades later, so I'm not going to give away my grades. But he's been huge for them, right? And when he's in the game there, when he's in the game with Smart, you know, I like those two, obviously Tatum Brown, and then you go Horford. I don't know where Rob's at completely with, you know, his health and everything like that. I do understand, you know, we already talked about how they could, you know, with Capella, in there, you know, the Hawks can go big. I don't like to get too hung up on who starts because it's all about the in-game adjustments. It's all about who finishes and all that stuff. But I think that when you start with your best five guys right now, and right now it's hard for me to envision White not being in the lineup because of everything that he's been giving you. And we know how dangerous the guys like Trae Young and Murray can be too. So you're talking about a guy in White who's arguably, you know, first team all defense this year, right? We know how crazy he's been on the defensive side. He's led the league in blocks as a guard. So I want him to get out there and get physical. I want him and Smart to take Trae Young and Murray out of the game early, you know? So that's who I'm going in there. And Rob can be that energy off the bench, come in with 6 or 7 minutes to go in the first quarter and do his thing too. But right now, I'm a little bit down, more down on Rob than I probably should be. So I'm not really willing to give him the start.
Oh, interesting. Okay, Dr. Quinn, how do you come down on that?
I actually agree completely. There is a chance that we could see Atlanta try to use the same strategy they used against Miami to just basically out-rebound a smaller version of the Celtics. Yeah. But the Celtics rebound and box out well enough up and down the roster that I don't think that's going to be effective enough, particularly with the offense they're going to be having to deal with. So in that particular situation, barring it actually working, I do think that Jimmy is right on this. They got to set the best guys.
Yeah, really, I think that
you can disagree.
No, I was gonna say it's unanimous around the horn. I think that the thing that muddies the water is if Jason Tatum's rebounding isn't up to snuff. And we've seen that he's shown, you know what, like when he plays the four, he's an okay rebounder. He's not wowing you, but he's risen to that occasion enough that I do think that you're probably right about that, that not only is Rob coming off the bench and then perhaps closing games, which is more important, but like I've been hoping for all season long, that also opens up Brogdon and Horford. I mean, and Brogdon and Rob Williams having a little two-man game as just like a new look on offense. Although it's worth noting that Sam Hauser increasingly has been one of the first guys off the bench and deserving that nod. He's not starting, but between Grant Williams, Rob Williams, Sam Hauser, and Malcolm Brogdon, Missoula's got so many guys in reserve. It's unbelievable.
But yeah, I just think, you know, I just go back to like that Utah game where it's like Mizzou forgot about White. They were going with like Luke and, you know, whoever was over 6'10 that he could find. And I'm like, dude, just stick to the guys that have gotten you to this point. It's White, it's Brogdon, it's, I know that that's small ball or whatever, but I don't care. Make the other team adjust to you, because if White's doing his thing, they're going to have to adjust. Now, to your point, Cam, you know, if Tatum's getting bullied down there, if he's not getting aggressive or he's getting out of his rhythm because he's forced to sort of get in the weeds, then maybe they have to make an adjustment. And I'm fine with that. But I just think you come up with that lineup and you just give the Hawks the best that you have and see where it goes for the first few minutes of that game.
Yeah, agreed. I might save this for either an article or like a whole podcast episode down the line, but we're going to learn a lot about Joe Mazzulla, his chops, his reputation as a tactician will finally be under scrutiny, and whether or not that's important is perhaps secondary, but we're going to learn a lot about Mazzulla because he's got a lot of chess pieces, and sometimes that can be more difficult than, you know, last year there was like 7.5 chess pieces and you knew exactly what you were going to do. Okay. Let's pause the action and we'll get back to talking about that kind of stuff. I want to talk about FanDuel. Grand slams, no hitters, and double plays are back, and there's no better place to get in on the MLB action than FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook and official partner of Major League Baseball. And now new customers in Massachusetts get in on the action with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/Boston. Finally, you can bet on all your favorite sports, from the money line to point spreads, player props, and more. I am going to annoy some people listening to this because I would like to say the following. The Baltimore Orioles are very fun, and I am curious about what's going on with the Rays. I would be more curious what's going on with the Red Sox if they had righties who could hit and starting pitching, but I don't know if that's ever going to be a thing. So, as someone who likes baseball and likes baseball a lot, I'm trying to take a macro view because I don't suspect that the Red Sox are going to compete too much.
At least give the Red Sox this. They're losing a lot faster this year than last year, right?
That's so we don't have to suffer. Stealing bases and
forcing the pitchers to give up home runs at a faster rate, I guess, if you're the Red Sox.
Yeah. It's extraordinary, but it's also April. We got plenty of baseball. So make sure you check out an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Don't miss your chance to get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. Visit FanDuel.com/Boston and make every moment more. FanDuel, official partner of Major League Baseball. You must be 21 or older and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit is required. Bonus is issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet that expires in 14 days. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Hope is here. Gambling helpline, ma.org, or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start, gamesensema.com, or call 1-800-GAM-1234. Back to the Celtics, but sticking with FanDuel for a moment. Jason Tatum has the second best finals MVP odds, which is interesting.
Who's first?
I think you can guess.
Over Tatum?
Yeah, come on, Jimmy. Starts with a yeah, ends with a Giannis.
Oh, Giannis. Oh, okay. So we're, yeah, duh. Okay.
For the league. Maybe I didn't set you up. Well, interestingly, you can't get, and for the past few days, you haven't been able to get a line on regular MVP. I think at this point, enough.
Because they all know data, it's going to be Embiid at this point, I guess.
Yeah. But it's been a few days now that you can't get that
action. That's been a whole, we don't need to get into it, but that's been a ridiculous debate for months now, or really, I guess the last month it's gotten obnoxious, but it's crazy. You could easily make the case that Jokic is the MVP. It's probably easier to make than Embiid in a lot of cases. So I don't have any voting or anything like that, but it's not an easy decision for the voters, but I just think it's stupid if your reason is, oh, well, he was the MVP the last 2 years. He can't be the MVP this year. Like, that to me is so backwards thinking that I don't even, I would not respect your vote if that's part of the reasoning. That should have nothing to do with it. But anyways, I don't want to, I digress.
Conspiracy.
It's unavoidable.
Well, I was going to say my conspiracy there is that the league specifically is vague about the expectations for MVP qualifications to engender
this
daytime television debate, and then we have to talk about the television debate. But let's not do that. Let's talk about the Celtics instead.
Right.
Some bits of news that are worth mentioning, and then we're going to do player grades, which we kind of teased off the jump. Ime Udoka has now been tied to Toronto, Detroit, and Houston. Jimmy, any interest in what that might look like, or good luck to Udoka, not our problem?
Oh, it's definitely not our problem anymore, but I'm not surprised at all to hear that he's getting interest. And I actually fully expect him to be a head coach somewhere next year. I thought it might happen midway through this year, to be completely honest. So whoever it is, good for them. I hope it works out. I don't really lose sleep over that whole situation anymore. That's another one that I still can't fully wrap my head around. I don't think we'll ever know fully the extent of everything that went down, and really probably isn't our business anyways, but it was certainly unfortunate. I think a lot of people were shocked. And I think a lot of people wish that it didn't happen because they obviously know how good of a coach Ime was here in Boston, and wherever he ends up, I'm sure he'll have success. You know, if it's a young team like Houston, those players are in for a world of hurt because he's going to be very tough on them, right? He's going to be, going to probably make a few people cry out there. So that's kind of his style of play. And we saw that style of coaching. And we saw it finally sort of crack the Celtics team the second half of last year. You know, they maybe were a little stubborn and they're stuck in their ways. And at some point they finally realized that, you know, this guy, let's just try what he's preaching right now. So I'm sure Ime will have some growing pains with whatever the next team is, because he's kind of got that hard-nosed old school style, which I think the younger generation might have a little hard time grasping or getting used to. But if it works, it's a lot easier to follow direction like that once you start to see the wins come in. So wherever it ends up, Houston, what were the other teams that you mentioned? I forget now.
Houston, Detroit.
And that list could grow.
I'm sure it will. I mean, as far as situations go, Detroit's got a nice young team too. I mean, it really depends on what he's kind of looking for. I mean, Toronto, who knows where they're going, what direction they're going in. They're a more established team right now, but they're kind of stuck in a purgatory, it seems. So I'm not sure if that's a situation he wants to get himself into.
Yeah, I think this podcast thinks the Celtics handled their business as well as they could with a few missteps along the way. And good luck to Udoka. I suppose people deserve second chances. Also want to run down, but this is actually, I'm going to tell a story quickly. So the last game of the season was over the weekend and Brad Stevens gave an impromptu press conference. Now I was there. What happened, Justin? This is why we did not have audio of that. This is what happened. So the coach speaks an hour and change before the game. And I usually make it my business to be there so I can get audio of the quotes and either Justin or I write about it. And I sit there and fumble with my tape recorder as I try to send an email, such that I'm almost always the last person out of the press room. And I sit there quietly while Joe Mazzulla does his NBC Sports Boston hit because I'm not quick enough with my crap everywhere. I'm like having a mini yard sale. So I just sit there quietly because I haven't gotten my stuff together. It's remarkable how consistently I'm disheveled in that moment. This game, the last game of the season, I was quick. I sent my audio as quickly as possible. And I was up and at him before Mazzulla even sat down to do his TV hit, the one that I'm almost always quietly sitting through. Apparently, Brad Stevens just waltzes into that press room right after as other reporters are cleaning up their little yard sales. And he goes, "Hey guys, do you want to have a press conference?" And the reporters were like, "Yeah, okay, of course we do." And Brad Stevens just gave an impromptu press conference under the auspices that he doesn't want to be bothered during the playoffs, which is fair. Mm-hmm. 99 times out of 100, or whatever it is, 40 times out of 41, I'm sitting in that room, the last fool out of that room.
Figures.
And this time I got ahead of the curve and I missed the Brad thing. So we were nice enough to get audio. We can talk about what he said, but Justin, that's why we didn't have audio of that moment.
I knew you were.
Please forgive him, Justin.
He's in trouble or something.
The Paul Pierce thing all over again. Anyways, Stevens was great, as you might expect. He was considered. He was thoughtful. He showed great confidence in Joe Mazzulla as well. He showed great confidence in Jalen Brown.
What's he supposed to say? Like, I don't know about this guy. We better find someone now.
It was the perfect, these are cookie cutter quotes, but here they are. The team hears it. The coach hears it. The fans hear it. I do think the Celtics are kind of executing an all-out blitz to get Jalen Brown All-NBA nod. Not that he doesn't deserve
it. Oh, you think?
Yeah. But well, I was going to say, Daryl Morey has been so aggressive with his Embiid MVP stuff that it kind of softens the edges around what Boston is up to. But I do think that it's things are shaping up nicely. It looks like they will be able to offer Jalen Brown that contract because it looks like he'll get All-NBA. And the coaches in the front office are saying all the right things along the way. Anything else about the Stevens presser or anything you want to hit on, Justin?
No, I do want to just touch on a rising tendency that's vaguely related to what you were just talking about, which are hits from radio shows or who the heck knows what reporter who has heard that someone they know might think they could possibly maybe go after Jalen Brown. We're going to be hearing a lot of that. Don't take those too seriously unless there's some real substance to them. And let's hope he doesn't take them too seriously because that's already starting to annoy me and I'm not even involved in it.
Yeah, Jimmy.
Well, we know he does take those seriously. So,
Jimmy, let's close the news section with this. Which is more likely, that Jalen Brown is traded to the Portland Trailblazers or that Jalen Brown actually cut his hand watering plants?
Neither are very likely, in my opinion. Now, I fully expect a lie like that from a player and the team to back him up on that for a number of reasons. But, I mean, we all have bases and we all have plants. And, like, I as of this moment, I'm not even sure if Jalen Brown has all his fingers. Because like, the rap that he had at hand, he looked like JPP when he blew his hand off on fireworks. I'm not even sure if this guy has all his fingers right now. So I don't know how you do that type of damage by picking up a couple of pieces of glass from a vase. Also, you're not 7 years old. Like, what are you doing being so reckless if that was the way it actually happened? I mean, like, come on, man. I mean, just you could be a little bit more careful in picking up glass if that were to actually be the reason that you cut your hand. I am hoping that the true part of it is the return date part of it is true and that he isn't going to miss any time. Cause wouldn't that be something to hear, any HB injury report on Twitter comes out Friday night and Jalen Brown's questionable or whatever, So I'm bracing for that scenario. But man, it was not a pretty picture that Jared Weiss tweeted of that hand. It looked like a club. So fingers crossed, no pun intended, but fingers crossed that it isn't hopefully anything
still
more serious.
Apparently, hopefully still has.
Yeah, hopefully he can cross his fingers.
Yeah. While we're doing the news, actually, one last thing. Grant Williams won the Jeff Twiss Award, which is given to players who go above and beyond with the press. And just because Grant Williams and Jeff Twiss have been good to us at this podcast, shout out to the both of them. Okay, we'll do player grades in a moment, but I'm going to pause the action again because I want to talk about our friends over at BetterHelp. This is a service that we're really happy to have as an advertiser because we really believe in the product. And we kind of the theme that we've been doing in these ad reads is to kind of dismantle some of the stigmas that exist around what it looks like to get therapy. Because a lot of it's really affirmative. It can be, again, if you're down in the dumps or you're struggling and you need answers, but it can also be if you're looking to grow as a person, if you want coaching of a sort, if you want to hear yourself think and need guardrails there. There's so much that therapy offers in person or otherwise. And the thing about BetterHelp is that it's right there. So it becomes convenient. It becomes flexible. Discretion is of the highest order. I will say when I went to therapy, it was in town. And because there is a little bit of a stigma, I was a teenager, it felt weird, like looking over my shoulders and to see me going. So I do wonder if the online service is valuable to people who might be seeking that out. So again, please consider giving BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and it's suited to your schedule. It starts with a questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch at any time for no additional charge. So go ahead and discover your potential with BetterHelp. And listeners to this podcast can get 10% off their first month. Just go to BetterHelp.com/SeltLab. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/SeltLab. Okay, we're going to do player grades, which is appropriate because either on or off air, we're talking about how fun it is to grade. That's true. Can...
Yeah, you're a pro grader. You sure you want to grade tonight? You already did enough of that, right?
Well, ironically, my grades are due Friday morning, my real life grades. Nice. But
are you a hard grader in school?
It's unclear to me how often colleagues or students listen to this podcast, so I'm going to plead the fifth, but maybe
he's a softy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I teach a 9 through 12 econ elective, so there's a lot of completion grades in that one. That's a lot like plate spinning. There's a lot going on in that room at any given moment. Okay. We're doing it alphabetically, so there's no favoritism. Okay. And we will say you can give an A+, but down to an F-, an incomplete, a medical. You can get creative. But to the benefit of time, and we'll switch up kind of the order, so Jim, you don't have to always go first, but give us your grade and a few comments. You don't have to give us a manifesto.
All right, this is off the top. I have not predetermined my grades.
Sure. So. Okay. Well, you get name. You get first bite at the apple, and alphabetically, that's Malcolm Brogdon.
Okay. Malcolm Brogdon, and now I'm going to sound like a soft grader, but Malcolm Brogdon gets, I have a couple A's that I'm going to give out. He gets one of my A's. I'm not doing A+. Nobody to me is an A+. So he gets an A. I think that he came out in this team and he gave them exactly what he was kind of like advertised for, right? Steady hand, veteran leadership, does all the right things, accepted his role, literally came off the bench every single game that he played and embraced it. And he, on top of it all, was an unbelievable 3-point shooter for them this year, better than anyone could have imagined. So I love that trade when it happened. I love it even more now. I think that, you know, and I think the feeling on his end is mutual. I think he loves it here. I think he loves the team. I think he actually does love his role, even though it's not a starter. And a lot of guys in this league, they want to be starter. They want to hear their name called out to start the game, and they want to be there for the tip. You know, there's sometimes egos get in the way, but he doesn't have that personality. And I think that he just slid right into this team and gave them exactly what they needed. So he gets an A from me.
All right. Let's see, Justin, do you want to do grades for each one, or do we want to divvy up the responsibility?
We can challenge.
You gotta give.
Yeah, because like.
But who's not going to give Malcolm Brogdon an A?
I'm not going to give Malcolm Brogdon an A.
Okay, let's hear why.
I am a hard grader. Maybe it's because I teach unruly taught, thank God, unruly college students who really got under my nerves because they never read the damn syllabus.
Fair.
A minus, and I have to give them the A minus for that middle of the season slump he kind of fell into where he wasn't very effective. Not all of that was his fault. I don't think he was being used correctly. It was a work in progress, so he still gets the A, but I have to ding him a little bit just because of that slump.
That's fair. I can accept A minus.
I could be talked into an A minus because we haven't seen anything that would challenge the assertion that he's not a plus defender, or at least if you catch him in space, he's not a plus defender.
Sure. So couple misses at the rim too. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, who among us? But I also, depending on how the paradigm under which we're grading, I mean, I didn't expect anything else. So it's a little nitpicky, but I guess I'll, just because a few other people have, I'm just going to jump ahead. Sorry, Jimmy. Derek White gets an A+. I don't know what you could possibly say other than holy smokes, what a season. But okay, anyways. let's do Jalen. So I'm going to go with A-, but I don't feel good about it.
That's fine.
Dr. Quinn, I'll start with you, and then Jimmy, you get second crack here. Jalen Brown, it's been a complicated season. Mm-hmm. What grade do you give Mr. Jalen Brown?
A-. It would be hard to give him below an A, considering that he is playing at a level with an all-NBA player on his team at an all-NBA level, which is really hard to do when you have someone else who's eating up all those possessions. So I don't see how you give him lower than something in the range of an A. I think you could even talk me into an A+, considering all the things that have been going on with his life off the court in terms of being involved in trade rumors, the Ime Udoka stuff. I mean, but that affected everyone, so I guess that's not really a factor. But I mean, nobody else really was the center of another Kevin Durant trade rumor, for example.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Jimmy.
Cosine, I gave him an A-. And this is, all these grades are relative to the player. That's just to work
sure.
At least for me anyways, that's kind of how I'm grading it, which probably isn't how you're supposed to grade things. But A-. On the court, he exceeded my expectations this year in most, you know, pretty much most of the season. I think he's been their best player for the last couple of months. I think you guys would probably all agree there. I thought the off-court stuff was, he gets a couple points deducted for me. I think there's just like some unnecessary distractions with like the little bit of a media tour, I guess you could call it, that he went on. And I think he had the right intentions. But I also think it was kind of a distraction, and maybe the media makes it bigger than it needs to be or should have been. But when you go and talk to these publications, you have to know that they're going to pick out the things that stand out, and they're going to make him into something that maybe you didn't intend. Right. So whether it's Ringer, New York Times, whether it's, you know, ESPN, whatever it is, and whatever the reason is, it's not about the team at that point. It's not about basketball. I think towards the end of the year, like, it got kind of more about him and wanting everyone to know that he is playing this way, and he's should be regarded as a top player in the league, and he's not a Batman, and he's not this, and he's not that. And it kind of got away from the team. Now, to his credit, it didn't take away from his performance on the court, so that's why he still gets an A- from me. If he started to suck, I would have probably dropped him a whole letter grade. But to his credit, he's still playing great basketball, and at the end of the day, that's really what I care about.
Yeah, if we assume he's going to make all NBA second team, I mean, I don't know how we don't give him an A.
Does he make second team?
Where do you have him?
I thought people were trying to argue that he was going to be a third team.
He was listed as a second team by the very unbiased Michael Pina at the Ringer, known Celtics fan. I agree that there's a possibility if he does make it as a fourth, that is achievable. I don't know if it's likely, but it's not out of the question.
I think the forward slot is thin, but I guess if we have time, we'll hash it out after. So all NBA-esque guy, career high in points, career high in rebounds, career high in assists, career high in field goal percentage, career high in free throw attempts.
How are those turnovers looking?
Well, there's another side to that career coin, which is keeping me yes, a career high. That's where I'm not at an A plus is the turnovers crept up a little bit, up to 3 a game, although his usage is probably up 2. I don't have it in front of me. His 3-point shooting is down to 33.5%, which is closer to league average and probably low for a guard. He has shot in his career as high as 39%, twice, in fact, if you're rounding up 40%, actually twice. So I think it's an A. I mean, Jaylen Brown is a phenomenal season, but the areas where he could have leveled up just a little bit more are, I suppose, striking, or I think we both, or all three of us could have cited that even without the data in front of us. So sorry.
You're
sorry,
A. Jaylen.
A, not A plus. Okay. JD Davison. And I've got so much to say about JD Davison, Justin. No, I'm just kidding. It's my turn to go first, though. Incomplete. Now, his main Celtics grade is an A. I mean, he's been superstar up there. What we've seen out of the Celtics, it's just inconsistent, and I don't feel comfortable really assessing him as an NBA player. I will say, it's probably going to be a lonely life. Cabin Gale and him have a friendship, I'm sure, but he's got to come in and he's got to pretend like he knows how to be a professional basketball player. And then he's going to go to Maine. But he seems like a good kid and I'm rooting for him. I don't know him all that well, but I'm going to say incomplete. But I entreat you to I'm just spinning my tires, Justin. Justin's screaming at me in the comments that this is too much time. Jimmy, Justin,
yeah, I'll speed it up. Incomplete. See me after class. I don't know. I have nothing. You spoke more about him than he played this year.
Yeah. Okay.
Nothing else to add. Incomplete as well. I mean, you can't judge an NBA development arc on what, like 3 games?
Yeah.
4, maybe.
I think, you know, he's got some. He's gonna have a big summer ahead of him. We'll leave it at that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Blake, Jimmy.
Again, this is all relative. I'm going to give him a B. I just think that, you know, in the limited time that we saw him, he gave them, listen, I think we know that he's very limited in like what they're asking him and expecting of him right now. So when he's in the game, he's in there for energy. He's in there to draw a charge. He's in there to make a couple passes. He's in there to get the boys going. I don't even know if we'll see him in the playoffs. I expect that maybe in a couple cameos we will. But I think for, you know, a guy that they basically signed for the end of the bench, I don't know how you can get much more out of somebody in that role. So that's why I get to be.
Dr. Quinn?
B plus, all the same reasons. If we were judging him versus the expectations of what he was going to contribute to the team, I think it would be an A. But I agree that we should be focusing on the player as a player. And, you know, he has had a couple of questionable plays, a couple of questionable moments to offset some of the holy crap, he can still jump kind of moments, right? So for me, I think that we do want to give him some recognition, but I don't think it's quite an A.
Yeah. I'm on Basketball Reference. Blake has no listed nickname, which is surprising to me. And his middle name is Austin, and I didn't know that. Blake's so much hustle, good for the locker room. Legacy grade, he can have an A. It's probably not accurate, but
wow,
what he is providing to the product off the court is invaluable. So A for creativity or something, I don't know. If he keeps a mustache for the playoffs, it's a big deal for me. True. Okay, Dr. Quinn, Big Smooth, Sam Hauser,
A minus. Strangely good on defense, despite the yep. fact that he keeps being sought out by opposing teams. You can't give him above an A minus, in my opinion, because of that long cold streak that got him out of the rotation. But again, for a guy who was basically last year's JD Davison, for him to be in the conversation in any capacity to even sniff the floor in a playoff game, how are you going to do lower than an A? So A minus for me.
Yeah, again, if it's all relative, then he probably sneaks into an A minus for me. But I'm going to give him a B plus only because at the end of the day, his role is still limited for me. I don't even know how much you see him in the playoffs, so it's hard for me to give him anything higher than a B plus. I think you will see him in the playoffs, but you already mentioned like the time during the year where they kind of went away from him completely, and we were wondering if they completely missed and if we would ever see the court again. So credit to him, he does have a great 3-point shot. We can't ignore that. They put him in the game situationally, and he hasn't killed them on defense. So it's a strong B plus for me.
Yeah, I like that. Strong B plus. Sneaky good on defense. I think he's just sneaky strong, and guys overextend when they see him in a mismatch or something. But great season out of Hauser. I mean, vis-a-vis where he came from and what the Celtics were expecting, the production level is great, although who knows how much he'll play in the postseason. I have Al Horford. I don't know if I feel comfortable evaluating Al Horford. I feel like he just is so much better at basketball than I could ever imagine being and knows so much about basketball. And I revere him so much. I feel uncomfortable giving him a grade. I think that he maybe isn't as good on defense. And I think maybe he's lost a step, but hopefully he can't hear us saying that, because I don't want to even think about what that looks like. It's a B plus for me. I don't know, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, B plus. Again, he's become a 3-point shooter, right? So he's not giving you a whole lot offensively other than like that corner three, which is he needed to make that adjustment in his game to prolong his career. I fully get that. And what he's giving them is beyond what I thought that they could still get from him at this point in his career. So I don't mean being like I'm disappointed, but I'm trying to weigh, like, again, the relative grade with what they're getting from him. It's probably like an 80. What's a B? Like the highest B is an 86. So it's probably like an 86.4. Very close to that B plus line. But I'm trying to be a hard grader here. I don't want to give everyone an A or an A minus. So I'm trying to space it out here. But huge for them. I mean, we all know how important he is for them. They need him to be playing his A version of basketball in order for them to go anywhere.
Not for nothing, this is the third best Celtics season by wins in the 21st century. So there might be a lot of A's out there.
Yeah, right. But
it's also kind of hard to judge him, because every season he takes, I won't say off a good chunk of the season, but he's very clearly not going at 100 or even 90%. He's doing like 75%. Right. Yeah. So with that in mind, I think I also have a B plus. He could have gotten to an A if he had gone balls to the wall, but do we want him to do that all season?
He just kind of does his thing, and like he's like almost like no news is good news with Al Horford. You know, he just does his job and goes on to the next game.
I was gonna say there's a number of games where he's like functionally the guy literally bailing out the team. That's funny to see him save the Celtics skin and be like, well, yeah, but that's only a B.
Yeah, you know.
But I think we're weirdly in agreement either way. Okay, Jimmy, with respect to Mfondo Cabangele, I hope I said that right. Fee.
Incomplete.
And I'll let you talk about Cornette. But Cabangele, rooting for you. We're rooting for you over here at the
Celtics. Yes. We'll be rooting for them on the bench too for the playoffs.
I think it's fair to say that we were hoping that he was going to have a bigger role with the team, but I mean,
I didn't think he would stiff the court this year. I mean, this is a championship contending team. These guys don't really have any business being on the court right now.
I mean, yeah, I agree, but if you look back at the beginning of the year when we weren't sure what was going on with Rob, like there was an expectation that he might actually get some run, and he just never got it. So,
but Justin, that's also because we didn't know that Luke Cornette, the tallest American-born NBA player, would be such a productive piece for this team. Jimmy, what grade do you give Luke?
Ooh. Luke, this is my lowest grade so far. Luke's getting a below average for me this year. He's in my C minus category. Wow. I didn't think Luke was as effective as he needed to be in situations where the Celtics needed him or went to him. I also didn't think there were times where Mazzulla could have gone to him and didn't. So I don't know what that tells you about how he feels about Luke, but Luke wasn't a guy that I felt all the Luke's in, like they're okay. It was almost like, why is Luke in? So that's a C minus for me. And that's being nice.
Fair. So for me, it depends on whether we're talking about my expectations or what it looked like the team's expectations, because it looked like early in the season, they expected him for at least the regular season to be the second big, not the third big. And he was not that great in that role. He had moments, particularly as the season wore on, ironically, when he wasn't really charged with that same responsibility. But yeah, I don't think I could do much better than a C either, because he wasn't really good enough to be that second big. And he far exceeded what you would expect from a third big. So he's in this weird territory that I think is just about average.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Basketball is an entertainment product. Luke Kornet is an entertaining basketball player. He seems to really enjoy himself out there. And on Easter, he made the team by, I think, chocolate covered Oreos or something. He seems like a good guy. And for, you know, a former G League guy coming in as like a quasi third big, the expectations were a little different than maybe other players. But yeah, I quite like rooting for Luke Kornet. But sure. I think realistically, it can't be more than a very endearing, surprising C plus B minus.
Can't give him a B minus. You can't do it.
Eat that bag celebration. Looked and he found himself.
You're biased here with recency, shall we say.
But yeah, that's true. Well, speaking of which, sort of, Dr. Yeah. Quinn, do you have a grade for Mike Muscala?
So I was super excited when we got Mike Muscala. Mm. You know that I was pushing that trade for quite some time before it actually happened. And very recently showed us that he might actually be the player he was for the first game where he like banged up 12 points on 4 threes or something like that. So it's borderline incomplete with how little time he's actually played meaningful minutes for the Celtics. But I'm going to give him a strong B minus because he's not quite the player I was hoping he was going to be, but he has proven himself to be useful, particularly when his number has been called. So
Jimmy,
I'm giving him a C. I don't think he's really done much for them. I think they've been probably disappointed with it. And I question if Brad did anything wrong this year, it might've been not going for somebody a little bit more useful at the trade deadline. I liked Muscala when they made the trade. I thought it was a great fit, but they haven't used him. They haven't gone to him for whatever reason. So I can't give him more than a C. And even that, I think, is nice. I think he probably deserves a C minus with Luke. Almost like take your pick with those guys right now. I don't really think there's much confidence in either one of them, but I think Muscala's ceiling is higher. I'd probably rather see him in there over Luke, but I think they give you a little bit different things. Muscala's offensive game is obviously much better. So, I'm at a low C for Muscala. I think he can still save his score though in the playoffs if they have any reason to go to him. I don't know if they used him enough down the stretch to feel like they have enough faith to go to him. But if there's a foul situation or a health situation, maybe he can save that score.
Yeah, I think I'd give an incomplete just to be honest with him. He just hasn't had enough consistent burn. The defense is something to keep an eye on, but I'm going to stick with an incomplete for now. Okay. Right. We'll keep it moving because we got a lot of big names on the list. I think it's my turn, and I think I have Pritchard. Jeez Louise, I said we got to keep it moving. I have no idea what grade he deserves. A B. B's been solid. B's both swallowed his pride and made a big stink. He is just like, he can't be a guy on defense, try as he might, and he does try. It's just that's not where his strengths lie. So it seems like he's not the same guy he was last season, but he also got less playing time, which is challenging, especially for young, hungry players. So I give him a B, but I feel like I don't really know. It feels generous, but it also... no, because what my expectations for Peyton Pritchard ultimately were, as he vastly exceeded them last season, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I'm going to stick with a B. Jimmy, what do you got?
He gets an 80. He's like right on that B minus C plus line where it's like, I probably just give him an A just because I feel like he could have got more playing time. Again, it's almost like the Luke Kornet thing. I feel like there were times where maybe they could have went to him a little bit in a situation where they needed a spark or they needed energy. When he does play, he leaves it all out there. Yeah, there's a defensive liability aspect, but there's no doubting the kid can shoot. And when he is given a little bit of a bigger role, he's not scared to shoot. And it's, you know, he's aggressive. And I'm not like, oh God, another shot. Like, I think it's going in. He's on a team with a ton of talent at that guard position. And it's too bad for him. I mean, it's just a bad scenario situation for him. Like if he was on a number of other teams, he's getting probably 15, 20 minutes a game, and he's probably making a little bit more of a name for himself. So, but for me on this team and what he's been able to do this year, he gets an 80. So it's a B minus, but it's nice. It's not, I'm being nice to him.
I feel that that's so familiar, that experience. Yeah. Dr. Quinn, anything we missed on PP?
I'm just going to give him a straight C because it's very hard to tell what kind of impact he would have had, and it's very hard to ignore the fact that as the team is, you know, trying to really gear towards the stretch run at the trade deadline, a player who isn't seeing the court is kind of derailing the not derailing that's not really the word he's making more waves than a player who isn't playing should be. I get all of it, but you have to like look at this on the individual. If we keep going with the individual expectations, and you know, you push for those things, but I mean, he's Peyton Pritchard. He should not be like getting articles in the media that are getting serious attention about where his next move is going to be. So for me, that was a little bit much. I can't give him better than a C, a flat C.
Yeah, that's pathetic, really. It didn't really make much noise, though, because people were like, dude, just be quiet.
No one cares, dude. Go,
they're like, what did he just say? Like, just go back on that. Just go shoot three-pointers.
I mean, it'll be interesting when we get to Grant Williams, when we talk about just manufactured distractions. All right, we have five more names on our list with respect to Justin Champagne and Gallo. Incomplete, obviously.
Incomplete, see ya.
Hail to Pitt. okay, I'm so happy I don't have to go first because I have no idea what my answer is. Jimmy, what grade do you give Marcus Smart?
Marcus Smart gets, now don't forget, this is all relative, right? So just because Pritchard gets a B minus and Smart gets a C plus doesn't mean that I think Pritchard had a better year than Smart. It just means that Marcus Smart, to me, had a pretty bad year for Marcus Smart. Now, it wasn't he wasn't a negative on the team, and there's probably going to be a game this year where he wins it for them. But I think Marcus Smart would be the first to tell you that, and he already has told you that his defense was kind of subpar this year, right? It was below average for him, certainly. And I don't think we know what he gives you offensively, which is average. And sometimes it shoots you in the foot. He wasn't their third best player this year. He wasn't their fourth best player this year. You could probably even make the case he wasn't their fifth best player this year. So we're going down and down and down the list here. So he's in the C plus range for me this year. I don't know if it's injuries. I don't know if it's what it is, but this was not the Marcus Smart that we got last year or in some previous years. So C plus.
Yeah, I would actually. I'm sorry, my turn or no?
No, yeah, you go.
Okay.
What did I do? Wait, what did I give him? Did I change my grade?
I think it was a C plus. Yeah.
Okay, I forgot what I said at first, but yeah, it's a C to a C plus. But go on.
I'm gonna give him a B minus just because it's not his fault. He's playing on the same foot that I think was hurt last season, and he re-aggravated it. And it really, I think that has been the main culprit behind his defense. I will give him a little bit of credit for that, but you're absolutely right. The one thing I will say in his defense in terms of offense is we have seen way fewer Marcus shoot you out of the game games, which I think is a sign of maturity. Maybe also coupled again with that foot on offense, not really making him kind of realize he cannot be that guy most nights. So that's my grade.
I think I'm going to give him a higher grade. I think I'm going to give him a B plus, and here are my reasons. And I'm willing to be wrong about them because the defense has probably not been the same, injury or not. And that's a big part of the Marcus Smart experience. His assist numbers are up to 6.3 a game, which is a very good number, and his career high. His minutes are slightly down. His usage is slightly down. But his assists are up. His three-point shooting is stable. His turnovers are stable. So he's being more effective, arguably, with a shifted role where he's not categorically the point guard anymore, and yet he's also more so working as the team's point guard. Which I commend greatly, the arrival of A-plus recipient, Derek White, really complicates like what Marcus Smart is, because he's not a shooting guard, and maybe he's not the point guard. So what is he? So I do think A, he's been injured. He only played 61 games this year. I do think B, the defense has probably slipped, but I think I admire and I feel hopeful, Justin, especially your point that his three-point shooting attempts are up, but I don't feel like anecdotally there have been those same kind of nights. So I'm going to give him a hopeful B plus insofar as I think it's been an admirable transition with injury-based and situational-based roadblocks along the way. But I'm A, willing to be wrong about that, and B, not guaranteeing that that translates well to the postseason, if that makes sense.
Soft D.
Mm. It was a B plus, but it was like a soft B plus.
Yeah.
But that's a good teacher can make a C plus feel like you won the Super Bowl, and an A minus feel like you got kicked in the teeth a little, metaphorically.
There you go.
Okay. Dr. Quinn, you are up number one, and you get to talk about Taco J.
Well, let's just say there were definitely large periods of the season where he clearly was not the Jason Tatum who was the MVP candidate he started the season as. I don't think you can do worse than a B plus if you were ever a serious MVP candidate.
Yeah, he's going to be fourth in MVP voting.
Yeah. So I think if he had not started to turn things around at the end of the season, he might have ended up a B plus, but I think for now he's an A minus. I do think that whether or not he wanted to play as many minutes as he did this season, he should not have. That may have affected his ability to, you know, produce on the court. It may also impact his ability to produce in the postseason. But in terms of just the grade for the season, A minus.
Jimmy?
Yeah, I think you said a lot of the stuff that I wanted to say. And I was struggling too with justifying a B plus in a year where he led the league in like total points. I mean, I think it's hard to criticize for that, but I think, you know, we watch all the games. Sometimes you can't just go by the numbers. You have to go by the eye test. And there are games where he just sleepwalks through games or doesn't show up, doesn't show the effort. And those are the really, really frustrating games that makes me feel like he's not a MVP or he's not a tier one player, right? So, you know, but he's the leader of this team. They're the number two seed. Should they be the one seed? Probably. But again, it goes back to that. So I am going to give him an A minus, but it's like a 90, right? Because there were points, to your point, Justin, there were points this year where I thought he floated in that B plus territory because I was like, what's going on with this guy? He looks like he doesn't have like that fire out there that he needs to have. You need to bring it every single night if you want to be a superstar in this league. No days off. You're an entertainer. You're not just an athlete. You're on the road. People are paying big money to see you, and they want to see superstar Jason Tatum. There's no days off. LeBron James doesn't take games off. So he gets an A minus for me because I still do appreciate the other aspects of what he's brought to the team this year.
I'm going to go A. Oh. All-star MVP, fourth in MVP voting.
All-star MVP? You cannot start with all-star MVP.
It was, I think...
That almost takes him down a half a grade for me. The all-star MVP. That was a joke.
Why are you pushing so hard in the game? It doesn't matter. We've seen what happens when Celtics push too hard in the all-star game. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, the thing I was going to follow that up with was it was an A-plus off-the-court season for Jason Tatum. The shoes are... I'll say it. The shoes are great.
Do you have the shoes?
No, but I was talking to Lucky. Lucky has a pair. And I was talking to him about it. The guy who plays Lucky. Mm-hmm. And he was walking me through what it does. And he let me touch them. And they're fantastic looking. They're very interesting. I might get a pair. Supposedly they're super light. Anyways, the shoes, the rollout has been a success. The snacks, the ruffles. The
Gatorade.
The 2K. He is, Jimmy, to your point, he's a superstar. He just doesn't, just like every fifth night, he doesn't play like it. But he's got the bona fides, at least off the court. So A plus to his agent, wherever you're at.
So he gets an A for being a businessman this year.
Yeah. So maybe I'm bumping that A minus up to an A where
his
A plus off the court has that.
Okay. That's fair.
Derek White should be, he's the TA. He should be teaching the class. I'm so impressed with Derek White, but Jimmy, you said maybe not an A plus.
Well, so I screwed up. I shouldn't have given Brogdon an A because now I have to give Derek White an A plus because he is my MVP of the team this year. So on a bell curve, if I had given Brogdon the A minus, I'd give White the A, and then you would have to bring everybody's grades up a half and White would get the A plus. So yeah, I mean, I think this guy's been awesome. And I was really wrong, probably. I wasn't wrong. I was actually right last year because I was like, why is this guy so bad on offense? And everyone was telling me he's not. Well, I was right. He was freaking horrible on offense last year. This year, he's a completely different player. He's a completely different player this year. He's unbelievable. And that was a great trade. So I have no qualms about that trade anymore. After the end of last season, I was like, man, that really might come back to bite them if this is the guy they got. But unbelievable two-way player. We know what he's done to opposing guards. We know what he's given them on both ends of the court. And that's why I said they got to start this guy. A guy who's getting an A-plus in my book isn't coming off the bench. He's got to be starting. That's how important he's been to them this year. So A-plus.
All right, Dr. Quinn.
We all know how famously horny I was for DeJounte Murray to end up on this team.
I don't think I've ever heard you say that word.
Well, okay, I was, and I'm actually starting to think that, particularly considering what the cost between the two players were, that mm-hmm. Brad made a brilliant move. And when it comes to a grade, at this point, I just need to ask myself, is there a reason to not give him an A+? And I've been thinking about it the whole time everyone has been talking about him, and I can't think of a good reason not to give him an A+. So he gets an A+.
Maybe his hair.
I was about to say, it's an A+ effort holding on to that.
I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone who any day now it's going to go. I commend him.
It's starting to go too.
Greatly.
Actually. I'm an old man.
Yeah. So you took the plunge. Okay. Yeah. A+ is all around. Derek White, the Buffalo. Okay. If we get to Grant. I forget whose turn it's supposed to be to go first, but Jimmy, you're the guest. So you can either, you can go first or I can go first. You can stall.
No, I just don't want to be too mean here. I'm not going to give him an F because I'm not heartless completely, right? I am going to give him probably it's a see me after class situation here for sure. It's a see me after class. Extra credit definitely needed in order to get that grade up. It's probably floating around at a D+, like low C minus, like a 70 to. I mean, I'll be honest, it's probably a D+. And you guys mentioned it earlier, like just the distraction on $20 million a year, new contract. He never got comfortable this year in any role or situation he was in. He was thinking a lot out there. The shots were falling to start the year. And quickly that fell off and never got that back. I mean, he fell out of the rotation completely. I'll be honest, I don't even know where he's at in the rotation now going into the playoffs. We talk about the depth on this team. I don't even know if you can consider him depth right now because you just really don't know if he's going to shoot you in the foot. I mean, I still can't get over all the complaining that he does out there. Like he's LeBron James. Dude, like you ruined it for yourself because the word is out on you. You're a habitual complainer. You're never going to get the benefit of the doubt. You're not good enough to get the benefit of the doubt. So I don't know where it ends with him. I certainly would not open up the checkbook for him, not even half for, I don't even know if I'd give him $10 million a year. I just don't know what he does for them at this point. So I'm very low on him, D+.
Dr. Quinn, you want to go?
Sure. I'm a little more positive than Jimmy. I recognize all of the stuff on the court. The complaining in particular drives me absolutely crazy. As anyone who ever follows me on Twitter can see, it's one of the things I complain about the most. Because it costs the team so much and has, as you were saying, no basis, nor strategy. I mean, if you want to get the referees to be more favorable to you, like man up and take the fine post game and say what you have to say then and get back on defense during the game. Yeah. As far as I appreciate that he tried to work stuff into his game. I appreciate that it was effective at first, and then everybody kind of just studied up on what he was adding to his game, on some simple ways to counteract it. He wasn't going back to the stuff within the team scheme that like they wanted him to do, to the point where like driving his new shiny car, putting it on the floor was actively disrupting what the team wanted him to do. And he hasn't really shown me much to suggest that he's really absorbed these lessons, not in his interviews, not in his play. So I don't see how you can give him better than a D plus, and he's flirting with an F. I mean, the playoffs, I don't know if he realizes how much the playoffs could change the arc of his career. I think he's going to have a long NBA career, but whether he is somebody who's like your
he's a role player,
exactly, or a borderline, not quite, but a borderline all-star, if he plays within his game,
what?
Hear me out. If he plays within his game, shoots three-pointers, gets his scores per game up, that is not out of the question with the defense that he plays. I didn't say all-star. I said borderline all-star. I don't think he'll ever make an all-star game, but he could be a player who could get close to what would be a $20 million a year player if he plays that way. He hasn't shown any fucking signs of it, excuse my language, so I don't expect that. But, I mean, that ceiling is still there, and this is really his last opportunity, in my opinion, to show that he could be a player like that maybe in the right situation.
It's a C for me insofar as he is a role player. If you look at his contract, his age, his profile as a player, the expectations should not be so stark. And he's a great shooter, a very, very reliable shooter. He's a
not currently.
He's shooting 40% from three this year. He's a good rebounder. And he's still a solid defender. Now, the off-the-court distractions, and mostly they're on the court, are a demerit. Because I would hazard that when he's clicking and he keeps his head down, he's still a very helpful, productive role player. A la Al Horford. I mean, he doesn't have the same panache for coming up with gutsy plays.
Just be PJ Tucker. Just be the new PJ Tucker.
Exactly.
If he does that, he will make a lot of money.
But by giving him a C, you're basically saying that he wasn't a negative for them this year.
Which he was.
I don't think I agree with that. I mean, again, that they were a really, really, really good team. I think he was, if a C is expected average, he was an average player. Like, if you look at most NBA players, he probably had a better season.
So I think he was below average. So that's why mine's below C, I guess.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm
rating him as an individual, and I know what he's capable of, so that's why he's getting a D-minus from me. He's not anywhere near to his potential.
Yeah, I think you guys are both, like, this is the second time you've had him as a student, and so you're tough on him because you love him, and I'm thinking of it more like, look, he was a role player, hit a lot of threes and rebounded the ball.
But I think the we're saying, oh, he's a role player now, but the story around him going into the year was that he was going to be more than just a role player. I think people had much higher expectations. Yeah. Certainly he did. If the report of him wanting $20 million a year is true, he doesn't think of himself as a role player. So even he would have to give himself a shitty
grade. Oh, I bet he would. I mean, he had that funny tweet today. I think Legion Hoops.
That was funny. Yeah.
Like when was the moment that someone came up shortest, or they were the least him, or something dumb.
I take it back. He's at least somewhat self-aware of the situation.
He is self-aware, yeah.
It doesn't mean he's not going to put the ball on the floor when he doesn't need to in the playoffs and bother us.
Right.
I mean, Jimmy, also it's worth pointing out that I don't think maybe Luke Kornet also got a C out of me. So if I'm inflating my grades, maybe my C is really closer to an F. It certainly wasn't his finest season as a Boston Celtic.
Right.
And now we get to Robert
Williams. Will we see him again?
It's a fascinating question. I would take the money, let the Magic pay $18 million a year. I think that the CBA stuff was very positive.
That's the thing, because the Celtics might, even if they don't want to pay it, look at it as a trade exception that they just happen to have a player in the role of. Because it's going to be really hard for them to replace that salary if they lose him.
Yeah, that's an important point, actually, is like just the what happens next. It's nice, like when they used to overpay Tyler Zeller, having that inflated contract on the books, that if you want to match, and like, God forbid, God, please no, trade for Dame Lillard or something, you have salary to move. I will burn this podcast to the ground if that happens.
I don't think it will.
And at long last, we come to Robert Williams III, which could be anticlimactic because it's going to be a hard player to give a grade to. But Jimmy of Garden Report, my friend and yours, Jimmy, who do you give? What do you give for Robert Williams III?
Yeah, so I've been down on Rob Williams all year. The fact that we're saying that you can possibly give him an incomplete tells you the type of year that he's had. So I can't give him higher than a C. I just can't, yeah. And I won't. When you talk about, you know, Justin, when you talk about, oh, I'm giving Grant a low grade because I know what he's capable of. If you have the same thing, the same feeling about Rob, then he might be one of your lowest grades
but
of the whole
season. Is he capable of it? That's the
well, that's the thing now. He used to be, but we're not sure what he's capable of anymore. But I'm going to give him a C minus. I think he was, and I know that's harsh, but because when he was in the game, I understand that he helped them out in certain areas, especially defensively. But I'm very frustrated with his offense going completely backwards. He has no offensive.
Being like his passing, his ability right. to do like shoot turnaround jumpers very clearly. No one is doing anything with that. That could be utterly fucking game changing for him.
Right, he's not even thinking about scoring. So he's too one dimensional for me right now. So he gets a C minus. I need him to have an awesome offseason and not show up to the team and need surgery again because I don't know what the hell happened there. But you can't show up to the team and then and need surgery and expect to get a grade higher than a C because that just tells me that you screwed off all offseason and you didn't take your offseason seriously. So C minus for me. He can save it this playoffs. He can save it. He's one of the guys that can save his grade more than anybody. And if he shows up and yeah, they were just being, you know, careful with him and he goes off for the playoffs, then yeah, I'll change my grade in a heart. I'll be happy to change my grade. But for right now, end of the regular season, C minus.
I don't have much to add to that, but a C plus because he looked like he was trending towards the Rob we hope he can be the last couple of games he played.
Yeah, I'm probably right there with you guys, like a C minus or a C. It remains the case that for his contract and for the role that centers play for most NBA teams, and certainly this NBA team, it's a great fit. But the lack of progress, and I didn't know this, but Sweet Maria, he's shooting, wait for it, 60% from the free throw line. That doesn't feel good. So
he never shoots.
Yeah, it's all there. He could turn it around. I mean, the lob threat is real. The defense as like a free safety is still there. Same guys there. Different than Grant Williams. I don't think it's that he's like overextending. I think he's still probably ramping up. I did this activity where I asked a bunch of media members and more plugged in guys than I used the term ramping up several times. So I think the skinny is that he's either more injured or just like conditioning continues to be a thing, but like, look, that's a factor here. So I think we're all in agreement that like we're rooting for Rob, but that was a pretty underwhelming regular season campaign. Alrighty.
Definitely.
And that concludes. Oh, man, I mean, this is like the longest podcast ever, but Joe Mazzulla, 30 seconds or less, Jimmy.
I got to give him with everything that went on. I mean, I don't know. I'll give him an A minus, even though maybe that's high. I don't know. But like, how do I give him anything lower than that? The team is second in the East. I think there were situations this year where he could have made in-game adjustments sooner. I think the timeout situation was maddening. It's probably why I'm giving him an A minus and not an A. Yeah, I think generally speaking, he's kind of I don't know him like you probably do, Cam, but to somebody like me who's watching from afar, I feel like he's sometimes unnecessarily hostile or just weird. So I don't know what that's all about, but if it works for him and the team, fine. He gets an A- for me in his first year. I think he took over, obviously, a great team, but he didn't torpedo the team, so he gets an A-.
Don't have anything to add to that. A- probably across the board.
Yeah, I would just hazard that he's just the most intense human being I've ever been around. And so he's intense about being weird. He's intense about his instincts on the court. He's just high-octane dude. Rhode Island's finest, I'm sure. Okay, Jimmy, plug your podcast and then we'll plug ours.
Sure. We do a live show after, it's called The Garden Report. We've done one after every Celtics game this year. Actually, we've done one after every Celtics game over the last four seasons. And now with the playoffs underway, we're going to keep going strong. We go live about 5-ish, 10 minutes after every game on YouTube. So you can follow us or you can subscribe to our YouTube channel at CLNS Media and click on that live tab And you'll see our show there. It's me, John Zanis, Bobby Manning, A'Shaun Blakely, and Josue Pavone. And we have a lot of fun. We talk about the game. We talk about what's going on around the league. We keep it pretty light. And you can find me there after most games. I can't get to all the games because, let's be honest, that's kind of a lot. But some combination of us are there. So playoffs are a really fun time. And I bring out the hard hat for the playoffs because when the, nice. when the Celtics go to work, I make sure I come to work myself. So that's where you can find me.
And as an added treat, sometimes I sit next to Josue and quietly work while he does the garden report. You might see me get up and use the bathroom.
Yeah. Pop your head in next time.
You can also find our podcast over on the CLNS Media YouTube page, Twitter page, all that stuff, our own Twitter page. And we want to let you know that we're going to try to get you maybe 2x the number of episodes, although let's under-promise and over-deliver. So some number of podcasts more, but make sure you're subscribed wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. I'd like to tell you that this episode of the Celtics Up Podcast is brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network and BetterHelp. You deserve to be happy. Jimmy Toscano of the Garden Report, thank you so much. Dr. Justin Quinn of Being My Boss, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys, for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Adios.